The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the show. I'm so thankful to have you guys. But I'm actually more excited to have on our guest today. He is the CEO of Gray Capital, Mr. Spencer Gray. Spencer, thanks so much for joining us. How are you?
Hey, Cody, I am doing wonderful. I really appreciate you having me on the show. I've been looking forward to this.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, honor's all on my side. We appreciate you making some time. I know y'all are incredibly busy and with everything y'all got going on. But for those that maybe haven't seen what y'all been doing and how y'all kind of came about, would love to know a little bit about where you're from, how you got into real estate, and what you guys are doing today.
Absolutely. So we're based out of Indianapolis, Indiana. I was born and raised here, although I did spend some time outside of Indianapolis, lived in New York City for a couple of years, lived in Florida for about a year. But, you know, I've kind of been a serial entrepreneur really since I was, you know, really young. My parents were entrepreneurs, started a business. And so I had always had a passion to build some kind of business at some point also. And then I had kind of been dabbling in real estate kind of throughout, you know, my adult life. And after starting selling a business, it was in the craft beer industry, in about 2014, I decided, you know, I was looking for that next business to start. And like, I had some experience in real estate, I'd kind of had the bug for real estate, something I said I always wanted to do no matter what business I was in. I always wanted to be investing in real estate. I said, well, why not build a business around that? I've been learning about multifamily apartments, investing into, you know, large apartment buildings. And, you know, from, you know, basically just networking, I eventually got involved with another syndicator and operator here in Indianapolis and really kind of really learned from him, invested with him, co-sponsored a lot of his projects, but really kind of worked, you know, side by side. Eventually did, I think, 14 different syndication, you know, co-sponsors, you know, with that group. Still do projects together today. And then a little about almost 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, decided really wanted to build out my own team and start doing our own deals. And so that's what we've been focused on really since mid-2019. And so we're focused on acquiring stabilized multifamily assets and growing markets in the Midwest, mostly Indianapolis, but kind of any kind of growing markets elsewhere. And, you know, working with all kinds of different investors, having a good time doing it.
Perfect. Man, that's awesome. I love hearing everyone's unique background and how people come into it. You know, it's cool that you grew up in that entrepreneurial kind of mindset and got it passed down to you. That's awesome. I would imagine, though, with all the experience you bring to the table, you know, when you were co-sponsoring deals and even now on your own with your team that you're building out, it hasn't been perfect. I'm sure there've been some bumps and challenges along the way. So we appreciate you coming on, but would love to explore one of those and help our audience kind of learn from some of the things that you've gone through.
No, it's interesting, Cody. You know, before coming on, I've been doing a lot of thinking of like, hey, you know, what's the challenge and, you know, what's the hardship I want to talk about? Because no one would be successful if they haven't gone through multiple challenges. And it's not the fact that you have those hardships or those challenges. It's all about how you address them, you know, what you do, how you act. And then do you learn something, you know, from that experience? And so, you know, I'm like, oh man, I'm like, there's so many things. There have been so many bumps in the road and roadblocks and, you know, things to figure out. You know, one recent though, that's kind of like on the top of my mind is a project we did last year. And it was a kind of a unique situation where we were taking some condos that were built as high-end condos and converting them to apartments. The absolute incredible location in Indianapolis, Indiana. And then this was during COVID. So we put the project under contract basically back in March or so. And then, you know, lockdowns, things shut down, couldn't do inspections. And we were under contract, but things slowed down. We were dealing with a seller who's not an apartment operator. They build townhomes and custom homes, and they had bought these condos with the idea that they were going to kind of flip out of them. And then they turned some of them into rentals, but they didn't really know what they wanted to do with it. And so we came in and said, you know, don't worry, we'll kind of fix this problem for you guys. We'll take it over. And we had this vision to turn them into apartments. Well, COVID was going on. They were so excited they got the deal under contract that they essentially stopped operating the property. They stopped signing new leases. They just started letting things go. Didn't want to spend, you know, a penny. at the property at all. Totally took their foot off the gas, which isn't unique, I guess, for an owner to say, okay, you're going to sell, you know, how much money do we need to be spending? But they stopped leasing the property, and it went from being 95% occupied, all of a sudden it was down to kind of like the mid 80s. And we're like, what's going on here? You know, we were buying a stabilized asset, and it's no longer a stabilized asset anymore. We have to do like a full lease up. And, you know, we are never ones to, you know, really retrade properties to kind of go back to the seller and say, you know, we want a big discount, because we don't want that reputation of being a retrader. As long as it's within like a margin of acceptability, you know, we'll say, okay, we'll just mitigate this risk. But if it's material, you know, we do have to go back to them and say, look, like, this does not fit our business plan anymore. And so that's what we did. And we said, look, we were buying a stabilized asset. And, you know, sure, there's some hair on it, but there's this whole condo deconversion process. But I'm like, we're not buying the same thing that we went under contract for. You guys are in violation. You've breached the contract because you did not continue to operate it, you know, under your kind of normal, you know, business operations. And it's like, so, you know, we can walk out of the way from the deal. We would like to buy it, but it's just not what we signed up for. And so right. We were able to negotiate. We got a lower price. So that was good. That made us a little bit more comfortable. We close on the property, and the next week we get we get notified from our property manager that I believe it was five other residents decided to break their lease couple days after we closed, because the previous day they were so upset with the previous owner, they'd been treated so poorly, but I think they were afraid of the previous owner. They didn't want to break their lease when they were managing the property, close on the deal, and they decided, you know, we're moving out. And so we all of a sudden went from low 80s, mid 70s occupancy, and then went down to like 45% occupancy when we closed. And so this went from a, you know, relatively stabilized deal. There was a value add component. We had to bring 5 units online, do a full build out. We were going to, you know, renovate the property, but essentially a full lease up was like not a part of the business plan at all. And, you know, our property manager, they're a great property manager, but they weren't necessarily specialized in doing lease ups. It's a completely different process. You have to approach it completely differently. Your marketing's different, you know, just the things that you do. And so we had to quickly shift to saying, okay, how are we going to address this problem? You know, one, we're below our break even occupancy, you know, at this point. We got to get this thing leased up. At the same time, we need to complete this condo deconversion. We need to do the renovations. We need to renovate the common areas to be able to, you know, get rents to where we want them to be. So this whole other element of the business plan all of a sudden emerged, and it was a major, you know, major, major challenge. And, you know, so we're still in the middle of it. We closed on that project, you know, at the end of last year. Now we're close. We're kind of in that like that high 70% occupancy range. So like we've got it moved up. Now, fortunately, this is a very high end property. You know, they have 2,200 square foot units. They were built as custom condos, so like incredible finishes. And so like our rents, they were getting $2,400 to $2,500 a month. We've gotten them up to $2,800 a month. So we're exceeding our business plan and pro forma based on, you know, amount of like revenue, but, you know, it's been occupancy. And so it's been a challenge figuring out what steps we need to do to get people in the door, you know, so luckily, you know, things are going, you know, the right direction at this point, but we've had to try, you know, basically every marketing technique and a lot of failures. You know, we said, okay, let's do a, you know, big apartments.com listing. Let's get the, you know, the diamond package or whatever, or with the, whatever the top tier package. And it doesn't, you know, for whatever reason, you know, it's produced, you know, very few leads, because then we learned that there's like a diamond plus package that we didn't pay for. And so we pay for this premium listing. And then, and of course, you know, we're still at the bottom, you know, of like the search results. And so we've got, you know, this recurring expense for apartments.com that's not bringing in any traffic. We need to go to other sources. And we figured out, though, that we get most of our traffic because it's at an incredible location at a basically main address on the north side of Indianapolis. So, right, we need to, you know, get some really awesome signage out there, just get all this drive-by traffic, which all of a sudden increased traffic, started doing open houses. And, you know, things are moving in the right direction. You know, we're not completely out of the woods yet, but, you know, we've learned a lot about make sure, you know, one, so the fact that their leases, they were able to get out of these leases with no recourse. Now, the previous owner signed the leases and they were horrible leases, but we should have tried to mitigate that, knowing that these leases, you know, were not kind of rock solid. And then also, you know, working, being more proactive with our property manager. And once we realize, okay, this is a lease up, this is not a stabilized asset, we have to be approaching it differently. And I'd say, again, love our property management partners, but they were a little bit slower to kind of make that shift and say, guys, the alarm bells are going off right now. We're below 50% occupied. We have to take some extreme measures to get this thing leased up. We've bought properties that have just come out of lease up. We know what companies do. They go through that process, and it's completely different from operating a stabilized property. We're going to have to spend some more money. We're going to might have to buy some occupancy, but we got to do whatever it takes to get this to the right point. So happy it's moving in the right direction, but it's been a little bit of a wild ride.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it sounds like it, and I'm glad to hear that it's shifting, but I would imagine like there were probably some sleepless nights early on and, you know, trying to figure that out. I am interested when you have such a curveball like that, right? And it's kind of in the 11th or even past the 11th hour of doing things. When you're having to pivot so hard, how much mind share does that take away from your normal kind of operations or daily functions? How much do you have to shift over to that? Or even is it like just you shift all focus to that just to get it where it needs to be? I'm interested because I would imagine there's some folks listening that are like, well, how much do I shift? Do I shift the whole team? Does everyone work on this? Is it just me? Interested to hear how that works for you.
Yeah. No, I mean, I wouldn't say that it was 100%. This is all we're going to work on because, you know, we have to be doing other things. We've got a lot of other projects that are ongoing. You know, we're looking for new acquisitions. But at the same time, it's, you know, it's mission critical. You know, some things can wait and you have to prioritize and to make it clear, like getting this fixed is a very high priority. Luckily, all of our other projects have been doing are exceeding expectations and are going, you know, very smoothly. And so, you know, this one project is taking up a lot more bandwidth compared to the others. I mean, it takes up probably three times the amount of bandwidth than all of any other project that we have. But at the same time, we have to be able to multitask and keep everything else going and keep our eye on the ball. And a lot of that is just having the right teams in place between kind of our core kind of corporate team, our property managers, you know, and having, you know, the seamless communication kind of between our two groups to get on the same page. Being on site all the time, because, you know, we can have calls and Zoom calls and talk about it, but all of a sudden you get on site and it becomes real. And especially when like things aren't going 100% the way you want it to be, you know, to be able to point these things out, it becomes very clear. And so it takes focus and prioritization, but we still have other things going on that we have to address and kind of keep moving forward. So it's all about prioritization.
Yeah. And I love that. And I heard early on too, it's the mindset, like, you got to have that kind of positive things where we're going to work out. We have to stay cool, calm, and collective, like managing the emotions of the situation. Like, hey, this is bad, but it's not. It's we have exit strategies, right? We could walk away from the deal. We really like it, whatever. But you have to have that mindset of, hey, we have to keep cooler heads, let those prevail, and figure out what's going to be the best for our company and our investors.
No, and that's a really good point, because we definitely had to deal with a little bit of that, of just, you know, even on the team, of some people being kind of just, you know, they were fatigued, of like, oh, you know, another thing that, you know, popped up. And it happens that, you know, you always have a dog in the portfolio. You always have one deal that's just, for whatever reason, things keep happening. And whether it was, you know, in the first, you know, week or two, it was another resident broke their lease. And, you know, each one of those was just, it was defeating one after the other. But now it's the opposite. Now it's, you know, we've got a new lease. We signed a new lease up, you know, more than, you know, pro forma. Okay. You know, things are moving in the right direction, but it does take the right mindset of, this is going to work out. We are going to do what it takes. Like, this deal is going to work out. We're not running a, you know, massive deficit. Like, we know what we can do. These are all of the levers. We know the value. You know, we know what it's going to be worth, and the market's getting better. We have to see what the goal is, see the finish line, and keep moving forward. Because, you know, having the wrong mindset and thinking that, okay, you know, this deal is, you know, doomed, or this isn't the right deal, there's something about this deal, it doesn't benefit. Those negative thoughts don't benefit anyone, doesn't benefit the deal. And you have to be aware and identify all the problems and the pitfalls, but, you know, we've got to have a positive mindset and focus on the solutions rather than the problems.
Yeah. And I love that you pointed out, you know, and I want to make sure everyone heard what I heard, which is everyone doesn't have to be that way, right? There may be some folks on your team that you need to uplift, because at some other point in time, there may be a deal or something that pops up that they're going to have to uplift you and say, hey, you know what? We got this. We have the plan, the strategy, things are going to be working out. So I think one of the running themes that we hear on the podcast is making sure that you have great partnerships. And a lot of times that comes with the internal communications and relationships you have, not so much like the things that you're dealing with on externally, but they, those partners can be there to lift you up, and you may be getting hit with thing after thing, but they're going to be there to help you see that, hey, we're in the right mind, you know, we're in the right mode, we're going forward, this is going to work out. So
yeah,
I love hearing that.
100%, you know, it's, you have to, it's a give and take with partnerships, and, you know, and not everyone's gonna be having like the best day, but also, you know, like building a team, and that's something I've been doing a lot more, reading on, thinking about, is, you know, really on leadership, you know, how to build our team, how to lead our team. Because, you know, I notice on certain days that, you know, morale is, you know, is down, or, you know, people are, you know, they're, whether it's, you know, just the Monday or whatever it is, or, you know, we lost out on a huge deal that would have been, nothing's a game changer, but we lost out on a huge deal, $115 million project that we had been working on for 6 months. We thought we had a good chance of winning and been doing all kinds of work to kind of put all these pieces together. And we lost out on it. You know, a lot of the team was like, you know, really, for obvious reasons, looking forward to this deal. And it was, and we had lost out on a couple of other projects just before that, we weren't counting on any of these. We weren't counting on this deal. But it was just kind of a couple losses right in a row. And there's a question, okay, you know, what's next? You know, where's the next deal going to come from? We have to find a new opportunity, and managing kind of the team and saying, guys, we're going to get this figured out. We're going to find a great deal, which we do have a great deal. And, but we got to keep moving forward, and having a positive mindset is like, this is not done. This is just another day. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And we got to keep moving forward. And so, you know, we went out golfing and took everybody to lunch that day to, like, all right, let's break things up. We need to get everybody out of the office. It's, you know, we got to keep moving forward, you know, focus on, you know, what the objective is, but you're going to have those down days. You know, it's all about the, you can't have the successes without the failures. You can't have the good times without the bad. And so, you know, understanding it, acknowledging it, but then having the right mindset to move forward.
Man, I love that. Spencer, I think that's probably a good enough spot to wrap it up with everything. Yep. And all the lessons that you brought to the table today. I truly appreciate it. For those that do want to follow up with you, maybe work with you in the future, where's the best place for folks to find you?
Yeah, just hop on over to graycapitalllc.com. I'd say, you know, yeah, you can sign up to, you know, view opportunities, but I'd say, like, the one resource that I'm really proud of and really proud of our team for putting together is we have a newsletter, goes out every week. It's a Gray Report newsletter. So we've got a sign up there, and it's not a pitch at all. It's literally, we just aggregate all the different research reports that come out from all the different brokerage shops, analytics firms, and kind of put it all in one place. So yep, graycapitalllc.com. You can find that sign up.
I will second that. I'm a person who's subscribed, and I love getting the newsletter. So yeah, you guys do a fantastic job with that.
Awesome. Appreciate that, Cody.
Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate the time and the knowledge sharing with myself and the audience today. I can't thank you enough for jumping on.
Hey, thanks again for having me on, Cody. This is awesome.
Absolutely, Spencer. And thanks everyone for joining. We'll see everyone next time.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.